clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day. Excuse me, I hadn't spoke here in a minute or two. Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Happy Thursday, everybody. The weather kind of stinks. It's windy and it's cold. I don't mind the moisture, but whew. And then all them 70-degree temperatures they've been talking about the last 2 days, well, they were out west yesterday, and they're out east today. And I think there's some out west, but it doesn't look like it's going to make it much in here. Let's go over some temperatures. Actually, Goodwill's at 39, Slapout's at 35, the May Ranch is at 37, Cherokee's 35, 41 degrees at Butler, 43 at Eric, 49 at Hollis, 52 at Grandfield, out here in the panhandle of Texas. 30, yeah, there's where all those temperatures are. 32 at Lipscomb, 48 at Dozer, 52 at Wellington, 51 at Odell. Looks like Childress is almost 75 degrees. I mean, those nice temperatures are right there, but they're not here yet. First one to start out, chill. Want to send out prayers and thoughts to the family of Mr. Jeff Brown from Sentinel. Longtime Western Equipment sales manager. He passed away last night, so I just want everybody to send out good thoughts and prayers for the Brown family. He's going to be dearly missed. He was a good guy. I really didn't know him that well until he retired, and then I got to know him more because he's a good friend of mine's uncle. But I think him and the Cotton King had some crazy relationships and stuff, and but he'll be dearly missed. So I think his funeral's this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Methodist Church in Clinton. Again, sending thoughts and prayers out to the Brown family. So, all right, I'm gonna start show out just a little different today. I seen something on social media last night that just brought back some really good memories, and I bet 80% of you guys know what I'm going to talk about here when I start talking about it. You guys remember the show Death Valley? Who was it? Dale Robinson, Ronald Reagan, I think Robert Wagner, some other people were the mediators on this thing. I think I've seen every Death Valley show twice. And it was just a good show. It was all true stories. That's the thing about it. The Death Valley Western shows were all true stories. What came up last night, and you remember seeing the mule team. It all started out with the mule team pulling two wagons and then a water tank. Between 1883 and 1889, a 20-mule team made the 165-mile journey to the railhead in Moab, California, hauling 10 short tons of borax ore per trip. The wagon's rear wheels, towering as tall as 7 foot, was reinforced with 1-inch thick iron tires. The solid oak wagon beds measured 16 foot in length and 6 foot in depth, with the empty weight of 7,800 pounds. The entire convoy stretched over 180 feet, comprising three wagons. The first acted as a trailer, the second was the tender of the ore, the back action, and the last served as a water tank. When fully loaded, the mule train weighed around 73,200 pounds. The water tank, which held 1,200 U.S. gallons, provided the mules with the water throughout their journey, and sometimes an additional 500-gallon water wagon was added for dry camps along the route. Can you imagine getting a water leak in your tank on the way? That would really suck. All I can say, because there ain't nowhere else to get any water on that little trip. Over 6 years, the team successfully transported more than 20 million pounds of borax out of Death Valley. The horses closest to the wagon, known as the wheelers, were ridden by one or two teamsters requiring to operate the wagons. Though larger than the mules, the horses were less intelligent and less adapted to the harsh desert conditions. Mules, on the other hand, were favored for desert freighting, as described in Nadu's freighting teams in the Moab, however you want to say that. The teamster controlled the mules using a single long rein known as a jerk line and a black snake whip. He usually rode the left wheeler, but also managed the team from the trailer seat, especially when navigating steep hills down and up on it. The swamper, who typically rode on the trailer, operated the brake on hilly terrain. Armed with a can of small rocks, the swamper could nudge any sluggish mule back to work. Both men were responsible for preparing the team, taking care of the mule's needs, and addressing any repairs or vet issues. During midday breaks, the mules were fed and watered while still harnessed, while night stops included corrals and feed boxes. Each day's journey averaged about 17 miles, with the entire one-way trip taking around 10 days. Cabins were built at night stops for the teamsters and swampers to rest. Pretty cool stuff. Reason why I love this stuff, my grandpa Wall, Jess Wall, who lived in Granite for a long, long time, back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Matter of fact, my mom was born in 1914, and I think she was 5 years old when he quit working at the Van Vactor Ranch. Everybody knows about the Van Vactor Ranch, especially from Carter or Willow and down in that area. He was the mule skinner for the Van Vactor Ranch. And then his other two brothers, my great uncles, Walls, honestly, James and Rex's dad, I can't remember his name. They were all part of the Van Vactor Ranch. They came up from Denton, Texas to work on the Van Vactor Ranch. And there was that was quite a ranch back then, because that was before and after Texas thought they had everything up to the North Fork, and then that switched. I guess that had been back in the 1880s when that happened. Not sure. I can't remember all my history on it. It was pretty cool. But, yeah, I just love the Death Valley days, and there was a lot of replies on here. Let's see. It says here, if you're ever out in Death Valley, if you visit Furnace Creek, California, in Death Valley, you can still see one of the actual wagons that was used. All right, Borax. They was hauling Borax. And a lot of you guys and ladies know what Borax is, but it's basically Borax powder is a natural mineral compound that has various household and industrial uses. It's a laundry booster, and you can overuse it. Be careful with Borax. It's a dishwasher cleaner, toilet bowl cleaner, general household cleaner, pest control, mixed with sugar to attract, and it'll kill the ants. Roach control, or let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. Mixed with sugar, Borax can relocate the ants. Also, it's a good relocator for roaches. Garden, it's a weed killer. I used to use some stuff with Borax on it, but I don't need more. I don't know why. I guess I got natural weed control now. It also, it's a soil conditioner, improves soil pH and fertility. It's a fire retardant used in some fire resistant materials. Glass making, it helps to clarify and decolorize glass. And enamel, it's used it's used as a flux in the aid of the melting product. So anyway, just so you guys know, Borax can be really irritating to the skin and eyes. So be careful with it if you use any of it. But anyway, I just wanted to share that Death Valley days with you. They said that the horses weren't as intelligent as the mules, but the mules are hard-headed. I'm sure that's why they were called jackasses sometimes, but that if they needed to turn, the horses would actually, being a little bigger than the mule, they would force the mules to turn. Because you're talking 18 mules and two horses. That's a long line of animals to be controlling and trying to turn and go uphill and downhill and all that other good stuff. And you know, there's always that one. It's just no different going to school, you know, in the class. There's always that one person, probably that one mule, that didn't want to cooperate. So pretty interesting. Okay, today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Day, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. Let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, February 3rd. 1,633 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 439 brought 390. 7 at 476 brought 365. 21 at 578 brought 324. 10 at 710 brought 287. 8 at 791 brought 263. 29 at 927 brought 250. 11 head of heifers at 487 brought 322.50. 15 at 542 brought 285. 18 at 617 brought 276. 30 at 827 brought 239.75. 7 at 841 brought 240. 6 at 849 brought 229. Butcher cows were 90 to 155. Butcher bulls brought 138 to 175. Bred cows 1475 to 2350. Pairs brought 1375 to 2585. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
The Big 3 Model Year Clearance Sale is happening now at all 7 Lipscomb dealerships. Great big limited time savings on new GM, Ford, and Stellantis vehicles, including special 0% financing and discounts of over $11,000 off select Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram vehicles at Lipscomb in Wichita Falls, Burke Burnett, Bowie, Sayre, Elk City, and online at LipscombDealerships.com. Save more in the country. Lipscomb, good people, great deals since 1979.
If you've got a job that's going to take some heavy equipment and skill, call Johnny Evans at Double J Dozing and Excavating. He specializes in building ponds and making pads for barns and sheds. He'll clear land and trees, he'll make roads, he'll do terrace work, and even fix washouts. Johnny can do most anything that involves a dozer or an excavator. He's ready to go to work in this area, so give him a call or text at 580-339-6854. That's Johnny Evans and Double J Dozing and Excavating. The Piercy family invites you to their production sale at the Piercy Angus Cattle Facility in Eakley, Oklahoma. The sale will be held at high noon on Monday, March the 3rd. They will be offering over 70 registered Angus bulls, 16 2-year-olds, 36 18-month-olds, 21 yearlings, and special lots of replacement females will also be offered. For more information, contact Trey Piercy at 405-545-0985 or be sure and check out their ad in the Penny News.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Texas Panhandle in North Texas. Here's your ag weather update. Odell, 52 degrees, humidity 72, dew points 44. The winds are out of the north at 19 miles an hour with gusts up to 23. Peak wind gust today, 28 miles per hour, 0.04 inches of rain. so far this month. No red flag minutes, sub-freezing minutes today, 85 of them. 8-inch soil temperature, 50 degrees. That is your update for the ag weather in Texas Panhandle. All right. So, you know, nothing makes my day more than a 78-year-old man calling me right before the show, bragging on his little baby bull calf that he had out of a bull I sold him. And I really feel I'm excited for him now because they named the bull Little Jimmy that I sold him a couple years ago. He was pretty young. He was 700-800 pounds. And he is out of a commercial Angus and a Simmental bull that I still have the father to. His name's Charlie. And he's I got him from K-Bar. Yeah, I got him from K-Bar Ranch over at Canute. And just good-looking bulls. I mean, they're baldies and just wonderful deal. Well, he had a heifer. He had calves. He put them with a herd by themselves this year. He had a heifer calf, good-looking heifer calf. And then the next three were bull calves that were backwards. And I felt bad for him. And I guess they were just so big they couldn't get turned around in the mama. And then he had another heifer calf. And so excitement has been building for the last 2 days for the next cow to calf. Sure enough, he called me right before the show. I got a bull calf. I mean, screaming like a little 12-year-old girl that he had a bull calf out of Little Jimmy. So congratulations, old man. You finally got your bull calf out of Little Jimmy. All right. Let's see here. Penny News. Hot off the press last night. All kinds of cool stuff in here. But I'm telling you guys, turn to page. Where is it at? Page 6. And, man, the Jimmy's bull and female sale calendar has quadrupled in listings. So let's go over some of them real quick. And there's an ad in all out through the Penny News for the bull sales. But the Oklahoma and Texas Angus breeders will be February 19th at 1 o'clock. The Layton auction will be February 24th at 12 o'clock. Quartermaster cattle, I believe, February 26th at 12:30. Davis Angus, March 1st. Piercy Angus, March 4th, down here at Fort Cobb. Ferris cattle up here at Woodward, March 5th at 1 o'clock. And the Harrison cattle over at Arapahoe, March the 25th. Now, if you want to know where the bull sales are in western Oklahoma, just check out the Penny News. And I'm pretty sure I didn't go through there in detail every bull sale in there, but I seen a couple in there. Briefly look. Let me see here. There we go. The page 15, the Davis Angus Value Genetics bull sales in there, and I seen Piercy's, I seen Quartermaster. They're all in there. So check out the bull sales, man. It's exciting time of the year. You know you want to buy a new bull. And I'm, according to the math from OSU, you guys are allowed to spend up to $12,000 per bull and still make money selling just five calves. Up to $12,000. I'm giving you guys a budget. So come on. Get on with it. All right, let's see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture, according to Successful Farming. Soybean futures were higher in overnight trading and easing concerns that China will put retaliatory tariffs on the oil seeds. U.S. President Donald Trump earlier this week imposed a 10% tariff on all Chinese imports. China countered with a 15% duty on coal and liquefied natural gas imports. Really, come on. I want to hear back from somebody on the text line, 580-225-9697. Why would you impose a tariff on the United States that's supplying you with fuel to supply your manufacturing? Am I looking at that wrong? And 10% tariff on crude oil and ag machinery and pickup trucks and some cars. The stuff they need. And I was talking about it on social media. Mrs. Peffer, God bless her. She sent me a mess, or she made a quote in there. She said, you remember back when Walmart was Wally World was just getting wound up and going, and it was small. When you walked into a Walmart store, it said "Made in America." Everything said, they had signs hanging everywhere. It says "Made in America." Because I was thinking, if you took all the non-USA products out of Wally World right now, would that store be a half empty, a quarter empty, or almost empty all the way? I don't know. It's just crazy. And there's a lot more to it. That's why I'm here, sitting here doing a radio show, and I'm not working in some big skyscraper building, but it's just crazy what's going on. But why would you put a tariff on stuff you're importing that's so majorly important to your energy? Coal, natural gas, crude oil. Why would you do that? That is just whatever. Soybeans were on the list of items that will face tariffs. In a complaint with the World Trade Organization, China said the blanket tariffs imposed by the U.S. were in violation of international trade law and it was discriminating, and it was being a protectionist. WTO said China had requested cancellations, which identifies the agreements it believes have been violated, saying any tariffs implemented on suggesting that the Asian nation is at fault for importation of fentanyl into the U.S. are unfounded and false. How about COVID? The Trump has put tariffs on Canada and Mexico, but those have been put on hold because he had a reason, according to news. I'm not getting political here, but he had a reason. He wanted to get the borders more secure, and looks like Canada and Mexico both caved in, and they're going to try to do their best. Soybean futures for March delivery overnight came up 9.25 cents to 10.66 1/4 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal gained $1.80 to 3.10.10 a short ton, and soy oil added 0.4 cents to 45.49 cents a pound. Corn futures added 2 cents to 4.95 1/4 a bushel. Wheat gained 2.25 to 5.74 1/2 a bushel, while Kansas City futures were up 2 cents to 5.93 3/4 a bushel. Today is Thursday. It's ethanol day. Ethanol output jumped to the highest level in more than 2 months in the 7 days it ended last Friday, according to the EIA. Production of the biofuel rose to an average of 1.112 million barrels a day from 1.015 million barrels the previous week, the largest average output since November 22nd in the Midwest, the biggest producer of region of biofuels. Ethanol production surged to 1.058 million barrels per day last week, and that's up from 964,000 barrels the week before. Gulf Coast production rose 22,000 barrels a day on average from 19,000. Rocky Mountain increased from 12,000 from 11, or increased to 12,000 from 11. East Coast was steady. The West Coast was unchanged. Ethanol inventories is at 26.412 million barrels. And that's up from 25.7 the week before. Weather in our farm belt, you're looking at it, what we got going. Weather maps were lit up this morning with cold, wintry weather expected in much of the northern U.S. and extremely dry weather in the southern plains. And we'll go over that old drought monitor here in just a second. Extreme cold weathers, cold warnings and winter weather advisories have been issued for parts of Montana, North Dakota, Minnesota, according to the National Weather Service. Wind chills in northern Montana, hope you ain't up there pheasant hunting, minus 45 degrees. Winter weather advisories have been issued for parts of several states, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, according to that. Freezing rain, everything, just kind of the same stuff we had in northwestern Oklahoma yesterday. Well, according to the drought monitor map, boy, how things changed in 1 week. As I was bragging on northwestern Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle being pure white last week, well, that's changed. We are in a D0? Yep. Probably... I'm just sitting here. if you took the western or the eastern third of Oklahoma off the state map, everything else is in the yellow, except for up around Buffalo and Freedom. It's showing still no drought going on there. The whole Texas panhandle and a lot of West Texas is in a drought now. Southern Texas got some red and brown and tan showing up. And Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and Southern California are all in the D3. A lot of it's in the D3. Not everything, but a lot of it's in the D3. So that's your update on the drought monitor. Kansas, Southwest Kansas, which is always usually in a drought, they're looking good. They're still white. Eastern Colorado is all in the white, so nothing going on there. The old map's starting to get some color to it, so hopefully we get some start getting some early spring rains here in the next week or two. All right, let's take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau right there in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hello, this is Kent Watkins, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. Are you looking for a new place to buy all of your livestock feed, seed, and chemical? Let SEI Agritech be your trusted place to get everything you need. We offer winter feed contracts, buy the bag or bulk. We carry Mixed 30 liquid supplement, Total Equine horse feed, Sure Crop fertilizer, Golden Harvest corn seed, Advanta hay grazer seed, and we also are an authorized dealer for livestock nutrition centers. Give us a call today. Follow us on Facebook. Come by and see us, SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics bull and female sale is Saturday, March the 1st at 12:30. Selling 85 yearling and 18-month-old bulls and 25 first calf commercial pairs. Tested for DNA data, birth weaning yearling, and ultrasound data, over 50% of the bulls are suitable for use on heifers. The Davis Angus Value Genetics bull and female sale Saturday, March the 1st at 12:30 on County Road 2150 near Burns Flat. More information available at davisangus.com or search Davis Angus on Facebook.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says. He says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County.
Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices. Either use baling wire as a temporary fix or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field getting your work done.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Woodward, 34, feels like 26, dew points 34, humidity's 100%, north, northeast winds at 10 miles an hour, 13/100ths of moisture in the last 10 days, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 45, 6:08 is the sunset tonight, 48 for a high today, you're going to have to hurry, and mostly sunny. Mostly clear tonight, 26 for a low, and tomorrow, not looking too bad, partly sunny, high around 55. And that is your update for northwestern Oklahoma. Okay, let me back up here. Let me get on my phone to back up my, where is it at? Text message to go. Ah, so let me go to, there we go. All right, so I got this email yesterday from OSU, the Beckham County OSU. The four-county alfalfa meeting will be at the Western Technology Center right here in Elk City starting at 10 a.m. February the 10th. It'll be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Meal be provided by Great Plains Kubota, prepared by Farm Credit of Western Oklahoma. Please RSVP by calling your extension office. It doesn't matter what county you live in Oklahoma. If you want to come to this, you're more than welcome. But you need to call Paige at the Wichita County OSU, or Kathy at the Beckham County one, or Larry at the Custer County one, or Dan at the Roger Mills County RSVP. So the program includes insects and disease, livestock, liberty, and then herbicides. If you've never been to one of the either indoor or outdoor events put on by LSU and listened to Josh Bashan on herbicides, he's really good. He's worth the trip and to listen to, and then he'll answer any of your questions you have with herbicides and stuff like that. So that's coming up February the 10th. Right here at Elk City at the Western Technology Center right there north of Tractor Supply. Easy to find from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And I'll announce that again next week. Okay, I seen a deal yesterday that I wanted to share with you. So, oh, man, where did it go? What was yesterday? That was Wednesday. Bear with me a second here. There it is. The district meetings with the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association are coming up. Matter of fact, they're starting next week, February 10th, at the North Central District. Will be at the Payne County Fairgrounds in Stillwater. The 11th, the South Central District, Maury County, will be at Sulphur. And the 13th, the Southwest District, will be at the Comanche County Fairgrounds there in Lawton. And then when's the next one? February 24th, the Southeast District at McAllister. And February 25th, Northeast District at Pryor. And then last, they saved the best for last, I guess, March 6th at the Woodward County Fairgrounds for the Northwest District. Well, I have an informant do it. It's in with the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. So I asked a question yesterday, and I'm going to give you an approximate number. You guys remember, it's been about a year ago, a little over a year ago, we had a major fire out here in the Texas Panhandle and parts of Oklahoma. Well, the from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Foundation, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Foundation, $140,000 went direct to producers for helping out with the fire, which is really, really nice number, great number. And then $1,000 went to every fire department in Roger Mills County, Ellis County, and Beaver County. Thank you so much, OCA, for doing that. That went a long ways. I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of damage, but with the fire with the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, $140,000, around at the $140,000, I don't know the approximate number, and then $1,000 to every fire department in Roger Mills County. Also, I wanted to share something. If we got firemen listening, and don't even have to be a fireman, but if you get on your social media or go to the webpage, agweb.com. There's a, I don't know if you want to call it a competition. I think it's just a deal going on that they're putting on. Nominate your, there's a form you fill out. I filled out one for Carter last night. There's a form that you fill out for there to nominate your local fire department to win a life-saving grain rescue tube. Pretty cool deal. And, you know, I don't know how many fire departments in Western Oklahoma have one of these. I don't know of any personally. That doesn't mean none of them's got them, but it's a rescue tube. If somebody was to get hung up in a granary, these rescue tubes can get them out. And so it's a pretty cool deal. So go to agweb.com, nominate your favorite fire department, and there's a deal you have to fill out on there. So I'm going to give you a heads up. I just happen to have Chad's already. You need the fire department address. You need the fire department's email. You need the fire department's chief's name and his phone number. And to fill that out, it doesn't take very long. That's all you're going to, you're just putting your information in there for nominate and why, and the fire department's information and the fire chief's department. So hop on that, agweb.com, and check out the help save lives in your community. Also, it's on agweb.com, but the direct line is nationwide.com. And the title is Help Save Lives in Your Community, and it'll be on there. So hop on there and do your fire department a favor. That might save somebody's life that you know of. Okay, where to now? Let's do the Lipscomb Dealerships Grain Market Update. When I looked at it earlier, it looked like a stoplight out of control. There was all kinds of colors going on that thing. Come on. Looks like about the same thing. Cattle market is not too wayno today. Corn, March, 496, up 2¾. May, 508, up 3¾. Soybeans for March, 1058, up 1¾. May's 1074, up 2¼. Soybean meal, March, 306.20, down 210. May is 314.30, down 2 even. Soybean oil, March, 45.13, up 4. Hard red winter wheat, March 607, up 15¼, and May 615, up 14½. Cotton for July, 68.50, up 16. Oil is down 40 cents for March at 70.63. Natural gas is creeping back up. March 339, up 3. Looks like the NASDAQ and the S&P are in the green, and the Dow is in the red a little bit, or not a bunch, but more than a little bit. Makes sense at 162. Live cattle, February, 252, down 307. April, 196.47, down 482. June, 191.70, down 420. Feeder cattle for March, 264.65, down 607. April, 264.60, down 587. May is 263.55, down 525. Lean hogs are up for February at 86.67, up 2 cents. April's up 22 cents at 91.77. There you have that. Okay, what else we got here? Got over the district meetings, and let's see here. Let's talk about new research. I seen this in Drovers. I seen it a couple days ago, and just now got time today to talk about it. Preliminary UNL beef research shows no performance loss associated with varian distiller's grains in cattle finishing diets. The seasonal variability of distiller grains, a byproduct of ethanol production, has been one drawback of using it in cattle finishing ration. New research from the University of Nebraska is indicating that may not be the drawback the industry thinks it is. Feeders and researchers have assumed disruptions in the supply of distiller grains would affect the performance of feeder cattle accustomed to the feed source. An ongoing study at University of Nebraska at Lincoln looks to quantify how much. According to the research, it doesn't do nothing. Ever since COVID, the supply and deliveries of Stiller Greens has been inconsistent, said Paige Madison, a master's student in the UNL ruminant nutrition department who worked on this research project. We want to see what it would do to cattle if producers ran out of distillers and had to pull it out of the diet, then a week later, then got a delivery and could put the full inclusion back into the diet. When the diet is not consistent, cattle can experience ruminant acidosis, I guess that's what they call that, which is when the pH of the rumen becomes low, says Jim McDonald, UNL professor of animal science, and professor of animal science and principal investigator on this research project. He said the acid may cause cattle to go off feed, reducing intakes, and subsequently causing a reduction in average daily gain and a hot carcass weight. McDonald said that rumen acid contributes to economic losses, which reduces hot carcass weight, increased liver abscesses, and increased death loss. The economic impact of liver abscesses alone is estimated at $41.6 million annually. I had no clue. Distiller grains are used in feedlot diets as a source of energy and protein. Distillers can be wet, dry, or modified based on moisture on the byproduct. This research project used modified distillers grain, which had a moisture level of 48 degrees. Research on various amounts of distiller grains included in the feedlot diet can help producers manage feedlot diets for maximum efficiency and cattle health. The current strategy to manage variable supply to the limit inclusion of distiller grains, McDonald says, we have seen the inclusion of distiller grains reduced significantly over the past decade due to the increase in the price relative to corn. A perceived reduction in the feeding value of distiller grains and variable supply. Phase one of the study looked at the ration that included distillers only at 25% of the ration. Since the distiller grains also provide protein, urea is added to control the diet. Phase two focused on constant various variable distillers at 10% and 25% of the diet with a control of corn with no distillers. The research was conducted at the Eastern Nebraska Research Extension and Education Center near Meade, Nebraska. And it looks like, he said, while we would never recommend that anybody make a sudden dramatic change to the finishing diets, this data to provide some peace of mind that if supply disruptions or sudden changes in price occur, there is flexibility in making diet changes without negatively impacting the animal performance. There you have it. Oh, that's pretty cool. That distillers, yep, pretty cool stuff. All right, let's take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau right there in Cheyenne, America. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
The thing about tires is it only takes one of them to blow out to stop you right where you are. Good thing Blair Tire comes to you. South of I-40 and west of I-35, nobody has more ag tires than Blair Tire and Feed. They'll have it when you need it. If you're stranded, Blair Tire finds you and fixes it. Getting you rolling again is where they hang their hat. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19 in Blair. All the name brand tires you want. Service that can't be touched.
Looking for the perfect venue for your next event? Look no further than the Frisco Center, located in the heart of Western Oklahoma. Whether it's a stunning wedding, a joyful reception, a memorable birthday party, or a professional seminar, we've got you covered. With spacious rooms and exceptional service, Frisco Center is designed to make your special occasion unforgettable. Located at 101 South 4th Street in Clinton, Oklahoma. Call us today at 580-323-7874 to book your date. The Frisco Center, where every event is a reason to celebrate.
It's that time of year again. Time to have your mower serviced and ready to cut your grass for the upcoming season. Take advantage of the service special going on now through the month of February at DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. Have your Cub Cadet, Hustler, or Spartan Zero Turn mower serviced today. Residential mowers are $159 plus the parts. Commercial mowers, $179 plus parts. That's DJ's Rentals and Sales on South Main in Elk City. Ready, set, mow.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale is February 26th at the ranch southwest of Leedy, selling 150 two-year-old bulls. Sires include Sitz Barricade, LAR Man in Black, Deer Valley Growth Fund. Several other breed-leading sires will be represented. Also selling commercial two-year-old pairs and open yearling heifers carrying QC genetics. The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale, Wednesday, February 26th at 12:30 at the ranch southwest of Leedy. You can also view the sale and bid online at cci.live. For videos and sale information, log on to quartermastercreek.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories going around on the ag deal, and I'm going to kind of shed a little bit of light that I can on the deal, on the bird flu. We'll do that right after this. Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for Sentinel, Oklahoma. 47 degrees, feels like 39. Dew points 42, humidity's 84. The winds are out of the northeast at 19 with wind gust up to 25. 10/100ths of an inch of moisture so far in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 48 degrees. Sunset at 6:09, 48 for a high today. 33 for a low tonight with patchy fog again, and tomorrow mostly sunny and 62 degrees with southeast wind 6 to 7 miles an hour with wind gust up to, I'm just going to guess it, 10 miles an hour. There's all kinds of stuff going on with the bird flu. I honestly, truly do not think that no matter how crappy our government can be at times in certain areas, I honestly do not think that they're purposely killing all these chickens and turkeys to jack prices up. It's causing it. The bird flu is causing it. There's reports of wild birds, like migratory birds, not quail, turkey, stuff like that, but migratory birds like doves and geese and snow geese and ducks and blackbirds and all that stuff testing positive for the bird flu. They're the ones spreading it. All right, I'm with that. This Wong that President Trump fired, that was the IG for the USDA, she has no authority. She's not the one that's authorizing or causing these major 100 chickens to 2 million chicken farms, authorizing them to do away with those chickens if there's any positive bird flu check there. She's not the one. She got fired because he fired about 12 or 15 IGs in all different departments. So why? I have no clue. Don't care. Because it won't make no difference. They're gone. Wong had to be escorted out of the office. She wasn't going. She put up a fight, but she didn't. She's not the one calling the shots on which bunch of chickens have to be rehomed. There's the word I was looking for, rehomed. Egg prices are going up, but U.S. Dairy cattle tested positive for a strain of bird flu that previously had not been seen in cows. This is from Successful Farming. The U.S. Department of Agriculture said on Wednesday, ramping up concerns about the persistent spread of the virus. The H5N1 virus has reduced milk output in cattle, pushed up egg prices by wiping out millions of hens, and infected nearly 70 people since April. None of major. It's just like having a sniffle or allergy or cold, according to what I've found researching it. Genome sequencing of milk from Nevada identified the different strain known as the DD1 genotype in dairy cows for the first time, according to the USDA. Previously, all 957 bird flu infections among dairy herds reported since last March have been caused by another strain, the B313 genotype, according to the agency. Rutgers reported news of the detection on the second strain on Wednesday ahead of the USDA's announcement. The second strain was a predominant genotype among wild birds this past fall and winter, and has also been found in poultry. The USDA said it was identified in dairy cattle through an agency program that began testing milk for the bird flu in December. Let's see what else is... not much else. I don't know. Is the bird flu, has anybody cooked some chickens or ate some eggs from infested bird flu chickens to see if it bothers humans? Because I understand from a friend of mine in Iowa that its neighbor is a huge chicken farmer, and I'm talking millions of laying hens, that, you know, the government just comes in there and offers some ungodly amount of money to do this, and they do it and take the money and run. Are they making a killing? No, but it's better than having, because the government's going to quarantine your chicken flock anyway. I don't know. There's a lot of conspiracy theorist stuff going on out there, and I hate it because I think egg prices have doubled or tripled since December, and it's just getting out of hand. I'm not sure. Hey, buddy from Eric, I'll try it. It won't bother me. If you pasteurize dairy milk, it's not in there, so I'll just pasteurize me some chicken breast. So we'll go from there. All right, let's see here what else we got. Super Bowl is coming up. It's unlikely that the changes in tariffs will impact prices headed into the Super Bowl weekend. However, we see how it plays out in the coming weeks, said Dr. Michael Swanson. Whether it's chicken wings up 7% or vegetables for the snack tray, broccoli is down 7%, so that evens that out. But I'm telling you, I'm eating more wings than I am broccoli. Wells Fargo Agri-Food Institute economist Dr. Michael Swanson said consumers shouldn't expect every snack food category to increase their budget for a traditional Super Bowl party. And he doesn't think President Trump's latest trade talks with Mexico, Canada, and China will have a direct immediate effect on the grocery store by Sunday's big game. It's unlikely that changes in tariffs will impact the prices headed into Super Bowl. However, we see how it plays in the coming weeks, he said. For the past 4 years, he's led the team at Wells Fargo to look at popular categories for game day watch parties and analyze the pricing trends. So let's check it out. Let's see what's elevated here. Celery is down 8.4%. Broccoli's down 7.2%. Potato chips are down 5.1%. Shrimp's down 4%. Cauliflower. Dude, this don't sound like a party. It sounds like get healthy kind of crap party. Frozen pizza's down 3.7%. Tortilla chips are down 1.5%. Salsa dip's down 1.1%. Nacho cheese dip down 7%. What is up is onion flour dip up 1.5%. Beer's up 2%. Prepared carrots are up 3.5%. Chicken wings fresh are up 7.2%. Red bell peppers are up 7.4%. Avocados are up 11.5%. And cherry tomatoes are up 11.9%. So it sounds like if you bought a bunch of potato chips, ate more potato chips and chicken wings, your budget will be the same as last year. Does that make sense? All right. Hope you guys enjoyed today. We'll see you tomorrow. Riley will be in tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jim Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah America. God bless.